Saint-André Bessette came from that stock. When his father died tragically felling a tree in the woods, he ended up getting farmed out to an uncle, and he tried all kinds of apprenticeships for various trades. They were peasants, so he was not well-educated. He was illiterate. But after trying and failing at a multitude of trades, he ended up he spent time in the United States owing to the depression that was in Canada. A lot of guys came down to work in the factories here. He went back up to Canada, and he was going to mass at this parish where a priest named Father André Provençal saw his conspicuous piety and recommended that he join this newly arrived religious congregation that had started a school. And he said, well, but I can't teach, and I'm not a teacher, I'm not even literate. So he went to the superiors, the brothers of the Holy Cross, and he wrote them a note, and he said, I send you a saint. And he told Alfred was his name, Alfred Bessette. He told Alfred, he said, look, you might not be able to teach, but they need janitors. They need people to do manual labor. They don't all have to teach. He said, so you go and try to join them. I think this is God's will for you. He joins, as I said, he tells the superior, I send you a saint. And they interviewed him when he got there, and they're looking at this pathetic little guy, and they could see that he was uneducated. They could see that he was totally incapable of teaching. And then they said, wait, his health isn't even that good. But the superior looks at the rest of them. You know, they made this sort of decision sort of in council. And he says, well, look, if this young man can do nothing else, he can pray. So they let him into the order because, again, his piety was quite conspicuous. And after his novitiate, during which he had to memorize, by the way, the Sermon on the Mount, they had to be able to recite it from memory. This is an illiterate man.
Okay.
He had to be able to recite, and he did, and he also learned how to read and write in his novitiate. So after he professed his vows, shortly after that, he was assigned to be the porter at this college. Now, college in French doesn't mean what it means in English. It was basically a high school, but the Canadian education system is different than ours. But it was basically a high school. So the college had him as its porter. So he's one of many holy porters in the history of the church. And he ended up literally was the doorman, right? And he would do all sorts of things to try to raise money to build this shrine to honor St. Joseph. See, the Brothers of the Holy Cross, which is the congregation he joined, their patron saint is St. Joseph. Now, St. Joseph is also the principal patron of Canada. St. John the Baptist is the principal patron of French Canada. And St. Anne, I think, is the principal patron of Quebec. They're all patrons, but under specific formalities. I might have it slightly wrong, but St. Joseph is the patron of Canada. And
aren't the relics of St. Anne kept somewhere in Quebec?
The arm of St. Anne is kept at Saint-Anne-de-Beaupré, which is very close to Quebec City.
Okay.
It's right outside Quebec City, if memory serves me correctly. Beautiful, beautiful shrine, Saint-Anne-de-Beaupré. But, you know, the shrine that Saint-André Bessette built is actually not as beautiful as some of the other Canadian churches because they mangled the inside, and it looks like an airplane hangar in there. And they have these hideous statues of the apostles. But it's worth going, if only to go down into the crypt church, which is still beautiful, and to visit the relics of St. André Bessette, who's buried in the crypt, not in the crypt church, but it's a huge crypt. It's a gigantic building, massive structure. And you can also see the original oratory, because what he did was they built it in installments. He built this tiny little thing with the grudging permission of his superiors. He built this tiny little thing, which instantly got overcrowded. And the structure that they have now is big enough to be any city's cathedral. It's huge. And now it's not the cathedral. It's a basilica. The Cathedral of Montreal is Our Lady Queen of the World. But it's worth going to for a number of reasons. But he was a tremendous miracle worker. He was what we call a wonder worker, you know. And that was it was so conspicuous that he would literally go out. Somebody would take him on his little errands of mercy. He would go visiting people in hospitals and things like that. There was one occasion when he went out. Somebody was driving him because the order, I don't think he had a car. Cars in those days were rarities. Somebody was driving him, and people saw that it was Brother Andre, and they stopped the car, and literally, like a scene out of the Gospels, people are bringing out sick people and crippled people. And asking for his blessing. Now, keep in mind, he's not a priest, he's a brother. And he starts praying over all these people, and you're getting these healings, like, right on the spot. And the guy that was driving him says, it's just like a scene out of the Gospels. Yeah. And St. Andre says, yeah, but God's using such a miserable instrument. and so they had all these healings, but he wasn't without controversy, because keep in mind, he was the porter for a school. So a lot of the parents were disgruntled when they realized that all of these sick people were going to the school where their kids were living, right? Because it was a college. They stayed there. They were in the dorms. And all these sick people, they had to build a new train line to get right to the oratory, to get to the college, which is still there, by the way. The high school is still there. But they had to reroute traffic and everything, because you had thousands of people going to see the porter. But some of the parents were mad. You know, look, you got sick people going to visit the school where we're paying for our kids to go.
Right.
And they're going
right.
to get sick from all the. So they called him the madman on the mountain. They had all kinds of nasty words for him. And he was a sensitive little guy. It put him through quite the ringer. You know, he was very much tormented. And he had false accusations made against him that he only anointed people with St. Joseph's oil just so that he could touch women because he was a pervert, which was really unjust because he never, ever laid a hand on a woman. He would give the woman the St. Joseph's oil and the medal, and he would say, you apply it to yourself.